usual. Let's pick it up on to 13 months. Welcome to our committee meeting scheduled for us also. It is to deal with two issues, one on drought, the other one is on climate change. So of course these two are intertwined. Also, the expected of us was to get a briefing from both the Department of Water and Sanitation, also Environment and Environment Affairs. The Environment Affairs has since turned up its apology as confusion about whether or not some committees are still meeting or not. Later response meant that they couldn't come through. We all are aware by now that Parliament is the workers in Parliament, let me correct myself, are on strike. Let's respect those rights of the workers. Equally, we have work to do. Yes, we are going to be in that in one way or another as we speak now. Suppose we're taking a glass of water. We don't have water. As we speak now, we are supposed to be having some meals and snacks somewhere. We don't have that. We had a lovely debate last night, or yesterday afternoon, sorry. Sparks were flying, and some people were also saying, no, no, those were not sparks, they were sparks. We are supposed to work together under circumstances, and I was really pleased that we do so, especially as members of Parliament. We have work to do. People have entrusted us with the responsibility of representing their aspirations. They have trust in us. We have a responsibility, therefore, to work for the people. They have employed us to be here. They pay us. We get paid through the taxpayers' monies. So we had no option but to continue. Hence, I said it is business as usual for us. Under the circumstances of an unusual business. The last thing I want to say is that, which is quite a sad story. The Deputy Minister's mother has since passed on last Saturday, I must say. So she is not here. Equally, the Minister has also tendered her apology. And she is, as we all know by now, that she is part of a delegation with the Deputy President in Iran. So we only have one department, or rather, one department that is going to be with us today. That is the water and sanitation, which is also going to grip us both on drought and also on climate change. As we all see that for us it is business as usual, all the members and the complement of the members is all here. Others are on the way. That's the only item that we have for today as part of our agenda. We have to augment the context of staff being on strike. Lula was assisting us from our office, as all these other staff members are not here with us. We shall have to bear that in mind as we continue with our work, that we shall not we hadn't had any breakfast, or some of us who did not have any breakfast. So it's belt tightening, if you like. Lose a bit of clothes, if any. Okay. The department shall take us through. Are you leading? Who is leading? Oh, okay.
Good morning, everyone.
You tell us who's leading.
Good morning, and thank you, Chair, and honorable members. My name is Matlakala Mutlong. I'm head of communications, and with me is my colleagues, Deborah Mochoti, DDG, responsible for water planning and information management. And on the left is Dr. Chris Moseki, who is a specialist scientist. And behind me is Trevor Barger, one of my colleagues, and the rest of the team. As you have already said, the minister is traveling with the DG, and the deputy minister has a bereavement in the family. I will just give an overview, and Deborah will do a presentation on drought management and the interventions that we are instituting as a department. And Dr. Chris will do the climate change. And I think, with your permission, Chair, I suggest that Dr. Chris start with climate change, as it has two extremes of either flooding or drought. And I think it would make sense after you present that Deborah will then speak on drought and the intervention. As you know, for now,
let's deal with drought first.
Drought first.
As
you know, Chair, there are about six provinces now that we are monitoring on drought. Four have been declared drought-stricken areas. We've got Mpumalanga, KZN, Mpopo, Northwest, Free State, and we are now monitoring Western Cape. As you know, they've already recorded the farmers' drought relief assistance. The provinces that have been declared is KZN, it's Free State, and last week it was Limpopo and Northwest. Mpumalanga and the Western Cape have not really been declared yet disaster areas. And provinces are the ones that declare areas that are drought stricken within their municipalities. And I think we've got, in terms of interventions, we've got either immediate, short, medium, and long-term interventions. And currently we monitor them daily, and we post the information on our website. There's also IMC set up to deal with the drought issues. GCIS as well is coordinating the communication efforts of all departments that are affected. And let me now give an opportunity to Deborah to do the presentation about. Deborah?
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, honorables. All part of all of that. I'm going to be presenting on the overview of drought in the country and how we are managing the situation. The first slide, as you will see, talks to the importance of water. Needless to say much on that one, especially after Chairman Jefferson's remarks on not having a glass of water to sip at the moment. South Africa is climate is variable, and we are naturally a water-stressed country with limited fresh water resources, yet we need this water for growth and development. And at the moment, or over the years, the Department of Water Affairs and the entire water sector have tried our level best to manage this important critical resource. We employ, usually that we employ what we call integrated water resource management. We also need to mention that and remind the honorable that South Africa shares its water resource with neighboring countries. And the water in South Africa, okay, let me mention that the countries that we share that water with, four of our major river systems, six neighboring countries, being Botswana, Lesotho, Mozambique, Namibia, Swaziland and Zimbabwe. The total area of covered by those four shared catchments in South Africa is equal to about 60% of our surface area, and the mean annual flow from these rivers amounts to about 40% of our total average river flow. I mentioned that we share our river courses with neighboring countries. we need to indicate that the national rainfall and evaporation is also a bit skewed, and it is not the same throughout the country. The current water leaks that we have at 98% assurance level of supply is constituted by 77% surface resources, 9% groundwater, 14% return flows, and desalination is less than 1%. And we are working towards altering this water mix. We are working towards altering the water mix in future by increasing utilization of groundwater, by reuse of water, desalination, or rainwater and fog harvesting. As I mentioned, that we use we have embraced the integrated water resource management in our approach to managing the water, a scarce resource in the country. We need to also indicate that the site that you're looking at, called the water balance, does show or does confirm what I've indicated, that we are a water scarce country. It gives you the blue there, available water, the green is the requirement, and there's the golden in cubic meters per hour. And this we call the water balance. You will see that most of the areas are either even or are already in deficit. The subsequent slide, or the slide I'm on now, is on reconciliation strategies, where the studies were done on all towns. And we can see from that slide that we have a number of reds, which means we have areas that are already in deficit, as I've mentioned, and areas that would also be in deficit in the next 5 years. Now, that, if you go back to the slide that I have been on that I have just passed on water balances, it will show you there that there are interventions that are made or currently being planned for the areas that are in deficit. For example, up there you will see to increase transfers from Bubuli Taba, you will see the Landoni Dam, you will see the raising of the Ni Dam, you will see the Inyaka Dam, you will see Maguba Drikopis Dam, and etc. Now, we do have what we call the National Water Resource Strategy. At the moment, it is called National Water Resource Strategy 2 because it was version 2, which we develop every 5 years, and that is in terms of the National Water Act, the current National Water Act. We are saying there that fresh water is at its limit in any catchment, and that I've already indicated, and that I did indicate to you that there are measures in place to deal with that. What you will see also there is that there's a slide that says 12-month standard precipitation index that gives us the rainfall in the past 12 months up to September 2015. And there you will see that there are areas where there was no rainfall or where there's a severe drought. The other one is just a rainfall forecast indicating the number or the areas where rainfall is forecast to be higher than in other areas where there is none. And you will see that in South Africa, according to the forecast, we will be experiencing drought for quite some time. The next slide that you're looking at there is on the National Dam Storage. It indicates there that this is not the first drought experience that you have in the country. You realize that in 1983 there was drought, and then there was an improvement around 1991, and then 1995 there was another drought there. You see the dips in the storage levels. And right now where we are, as at 28 September 2015, you do see that on that slide that there's also a decline in the storage of water in the country. The areas that are affected by drought, as my colleague, Communication Matakala, has indicated, it's Limpopo, KwaZulu-Natal, Mpumalanga, Free State, Northern Cape, Northwest. And Gauteng has struck on the supply system due to high demand as a result of the heat wave we're going through, and as you can see, the high temperature. So there's high temperature, which increases demand, which then means that the supply system gets stressed. There's also a slide that will talk about the Vaal River system and its importance. The river system is important in the sense that it supplies 60% of the economy, 45% of the population, and it provides industries such as mines on the eastern Mpumalanga High Veld, the bulk of Eskom coal-fired power stations, Gauteng as in the water supply, Northwest as Free State Gauteng, Kimberley light irrigation, and the system is in deficit due to unlawful water use. That's one of those things. The challenges that we are faced with. But maybe before I move to the challenges that we are faced with, I need to indicate that there are, it's not like the entire, these provinces that I've mentioned, it's not like the entire province is in drought. There are areas that are impacted today in those areas, in those provinces, and some of those, especially in KZN, have been declared as disaster or drought-stricken areas. Now, moving back to what I said earlier, that we do have challenges that we are faced with. One of those challenges is water quality. In water, we say the water should be fit for use. And so water deterioration in water quality makes water unfit for use. We have various sources of pollution to water. Discharge of urban and industrial effluent to rivers, high salinity from irrigation return flows, wash off and leakage from mining operations, wash off from areas with insufficient sanitation. Those are mainly main contributors to deterioration of water quality. We have a situation also where water is not used efficiently in the country, and I am thinking that the moment is opportune that we now have an opportunity to strike while the iron is still hot, where everybody is now aware of drought, there's that awareness. That we increase our education on the efficient use of water because at the moment most of us, if not all of us, are already feeling the pinch of inefficient use of water. When you look at our recon strategy, most of the recon strategies would indicate that water conservation and water management, water demand management, is the first intervention to implement before you even think about building huge dams for large dams that tend to be costly and take time to plan and to implement. And we have since been aware that water insufficiency is the most cost-effective one, but it requires each and every South African to participate. We have various mitigation measures that we are putting in place. Those mitigation measures are in three categories. One is immediate and short-term, and then the medium term, and then the long term. On the short and immediate, we have tendering to areas in distress. We have a drilling of boreholes where it's needed. We have equipment and refurbishment of boreholes that have been vandalized or by any other way have rendered dysfunctional. On the medium term, we have desalination that will be applicable in the coastal areas, and we have transfer from one scheme to another where possible. We also have eradication of illegal water use, and then on the long term, we have infrastructure development, as I mentioned earlier. There's Hazel Mare, and there's the raising of Glen William Dam and the Lanin Dam. And I also mentioned the transfers on the middle, but we do have one last transfer which takes time, which is on the long term, and it is the Lesotho Highlands Water Phase 2. On the short term, what I forgot to mention is the rainwater harvesting, that we have a program called rainwater harvesting tanks that we are rolling out in other communities or in some communities. The conclusion is that drought is a natural phenomenon, and being a natural phenomenon means that as we plan water resources, we do take drought into consideration. That there are mitigation measures, as I've spoken, as I've mentioned, in various areas, but it is area specific. In other words, we cannot be talking groundwater, drilling of boreholes where there's no groundwater, or where there's no sufficient supply of groundwater. And when we talk tankering, we need also to indicate this way. We need to bear in mind that where we'll be tankering from. And there are water restrictions, which all of us have to abide by, for us to be able to save the natural water that we still have. Chairperson, I believe that I have covered basically the gist of the matter, and I will pause here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Members, that gets to be the brief on drought. I would want us to focus on the specific one before we move over to climate change. A number of important issues have been raised, which obviously raises a number of questions. I would have thought the DDG would have expanded on a point that she raises about the fact that we shall be experiencing drought for quite some time. I saw somewhere where you are having the red and the green dots that indicate that there are some areas where you are going to be experiencing drought for over 10 years and others between 5 and 10 years. And as the dots become lighter, the lesser the drought is going to be impacted upon. The AMD, that's mine drainage, and your long-term solution plans, that project gets to come in quite handy as far as I'm concerned. But whether that would also form part of your medium or planning exercise, it gets to be quite an interesting aspect on my part. I hear you talking about only your surface water and also your desalinated water. I thought you would also cover the AMD, which is very critical. Serious environmental issues involved, and of course, greater opportunities for us, given all challenges that we're confronted with. Members, that is the briefing coming from the department. Mrs. Barangela, I noted. Okay. Let's start off from the person, and then we take it in that order. Thanks.
Thank you, Jay.
Welcome, my colleague.
Chairperson, I'm worried about this report that's before us. This drought mitigation, this department has failed South Africa. I want to know, you've known about this drought coming, you were warned by scientists about this, you've done nothing. We sit with the crisis in Gauteng now, we had one last year, and still nothing has been done about this. It's nice to tell us about these boreholes that is not equipped. You knew it's not equipped. You did nothing about it. Numerous questions have been sent to your department on numerous places like Foulwater. I can name you 40 municipalities where we informed you beforehand there's a crisis of water. And yet you did not do anything about it. I spoke to Mr. Balja about the implementation of a project in Maribeng, where 705 million rand was allocated. And when I got a reply from the minister, you realize that they want Maribeng that's been put under administration. They want to contribute 185 million rand, which they don't have. 353 million rand of that money is unfunded. So they placed a municipality under administration for water and sanitation and only allocated 176 million rand from the regional bulk infrastructure grant. That's how the department is running water and sanitation in the country. It's unacceptable coming to us and tell us we're going to struggle for the next, for a long time without water. You've done nothing to assist and get a soft landing on the issues. And I don't expect, and I hope I can expect that we'll get better answers than this presentation we've got. These stuff you have beforehand, you did nothing about it. Tell us what you did to assist. Now we are trying to get money to help farmers. We are trying to help municipalities. Why now? Why didn't we help them when we knew they had a problem? This report is, for me, is unacceptable. I don't think... This shows me that there's no leadership within that department. They are just running from one crisis to the next crisis. There's no measures in place to stop a crisis before it happens. They only act when we're in a crisis. And they need to explain to us that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm visiting this morning from the agriculture portfolio, so my questions will be mostly based on the agriculture side. Firstly, I want to ask a question on this provinces that have declared. For me, there's a difference between declared and gazetted. Some provinces have been declared for a very long time, others have been gazetted since I think March or May this year, Northwest, and others. So linked to that, I want to find out if this department sits on the disaster management task team, the national disaster task team, and what is your role on that regarding water? Because if I look at what is happening currently, the water situation, and we know it's because of drought, mostly for farming communities. But they are also affected by very poor maintenance and canal systems that's not managed in areas affecting farmers. So what is your input and role that you have in there? Do you sit on there? Do you advise from a water side for farming and agriculture in that regard? And what is your advice on that? Linked to that, have you met with the irrigation management teams in South Africa so that they can know what is your plans? Will you cut, because farmers are asking me in this drought, will we get less and less and less water allocated to our irrigation schemes, and when is that going to happen? Who do you advise and how are they being advised on that? Then I want to find out about the boreholes. Have you drilled boreholes already? Does it fall under your department, or who is responsible for that? If you've drilled boreholes, where have they been drilled and at what cost? And then who will be responsible for maintenance? Because in the areas that you've visited, there's hundreds of boreholes all over the place, but it's never been maintained. It's run dry, people have put in rocks and things in there, so you can't fix them again. So I want to know about maintenance. It's all good and well if we drill boreholes all over the place, but no one is maintaining them, so who's responsible for that? And then I wanted to find out, and my colleague spoke about that, about the early warning systems. And the chair also mentioned it, that we are in the middle or almost in the beginning of the drought cycle. They talk about the long-term effects. What are we doing now to warn people, and especially farming communities, about the long-term effects of what is going to happen? So that people can put other plans in place, that it doesn't sit here next year and say, oh, okay, more municipalities are without water, more people are without water, so what is the mitigation plan from now on with? And then there's a slide in here, slide 9, and it's something that I've been wondering about for a very long time, but now that I'm here today, I can ask you the question. It's on the water use, where it says agriculture use, irrigation use 60% of the water, municipalities 27, industry 3, mine 2.5. Wherever I go in provinces, especially in the last 5 years, people are complaining massively about mining licenses and mines using water without licensing. How up to date is this state? Especially northern Cape, Free State, rural areas where people are using boreholes, and they've been using boreholes for over 100 years responsibly. Not like the minister said, you know, people must look at what they do responsibly. But in the last few years, their water has dried up because next to them is mines that operate without mining licenses. So what's the department doing about that, and how up-to-date is this step? I'll end there, Chair. Thank you.
That was Mrs. Day. Mrs. Barangela.
Thank you very much, Chair. We would like, I am sure, even all of us, express our sadness at the loss of our deputy minister, Mara. She actually has been the only strength that has been there, our deputy, all the time to be with us as members of the standing committee. However, Chair, I am sure again the members will agree with me. It is a great pity that the minister and the DG are not here. And this is the report that we have been crying for. This is what we've been needing to hear. Chair, we agree that we have had a problem with the minister who is not attending the meetings because of the executive responsibilities. But in this climate, we definitely would have needed the minister or the DG to be part of this meeting. The last one for me is, yes, we now agree that we have had these droughts before. We still have not seen the proper plan on how we are going to deal with this. We should have learned from the previous droughts, and therefore we should be having a proper plan. And in that proper plan, we would be having the response time to water leakages, because we know that water leakages add to the suffering of the poor. And therefore, Chair, I still would feel that the report that we are getting today is really not addressing the immediate issues that are affecting our communities. Right now, we hear that there are now 7 provinces that are affected, even though not in all areas. And we would appreciate that we get another meeting where we'll be discussing the plan. Thank you, Chair.
Mrs.
Lee.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, I'd like to appreciate the fact that we are actually having this meeting. I've been asking for this for a long time. It's been a long time coming. But nevertheless, as I said yesterday, we are in a crisis. The country is in a crisis. We have a water crisis. But understandably, crisis management seems to be the way we manage this department. Although, from what we've been presented with here this morning, I don't see much of a management plan, and that for me is very, very concerning. It's all well and good to say that we have a disaster risk planning, identification of early warning systems. All it's nice to have reports, but what do we do with them? What is the point of having a wonderful report telling us that we've identified the risk? So what? What are we doing about the risk? And nowhere have I heard a convincing, I have not been convinced that we are actually doing anything. I've got an email this morning from residents in St. Lucia on the northwest Matuba area. 3 weeks, they have not had a drop of water. What is going on there? It's a thing in northwest. We spend 30 million rand building a pump station in that area. They are not in a drought zone. They haven't had water for months. Why? We are not managing. It's a problem. Management is not a problem. The DDD said that the pinch of, feeling the pinch of less, what was the word, inefficient use of water, I beg to differ. I think it's a picture of inefficient management of our water and our water systems by government, by this department. And we need to act very quickly there. I'm very concerned. What I really want to know is, I see on TV last night, reports were saying that, well, we've upped now the water restrictions in Gauteng, in Joburg. We now move to stage two. They're talking about imposing fines of 1,500 rand on residents who are found to be negligent in wasteful water. What are we doing to the municipalities? Who are we holding accountable? We have a 43% national water loss. What are we doing about that? In KZN, we're the hardest hit province. 39.3% water loss. What are we doing about that? When we were in Shishlubi last week, I actually showed one of the staff members earlier, an enormous water leak that's been running for 4 months. The hardest hit area in the province, 4 months, a leak from the reservoir chair. That is unacceptable. It's been reported to the municipality, nothing has been done about it. It's been in the local media, nothing has been done about it. Residents who don't have water are now being opportunistic and coming along with a huge, they've got no option. It's their own water that they can get from a huge water leak going unchecked. In the middle of the town in Matuba, a huge, huge water leak that's been there for more than a year. Hardest hit in Kanyakude District Municipality. What are we doing? The National Water Act is that it is a criminal offence to negligently waste water. Who have we prosecuted? How many of the municipalities are we holding to account? Not enough, not nearly enough. Hazelmere Dam, our pet project. 91 million rand budgeted in 2011 already for the raising of the Hazelmere Water Dam, Hazelmere Dam wall. Other reports say now 398 million rand budgeted for that wall. There is no water. Hazelmere Dam was dry before we even got to the drought basis. Who are we holding to account for that? The residents are suffering. Who are we holding to account? It's not acceptable, Chair. Jogini Dam, 1.1 billion rand budgeted in 2008. For the past 2 weeks, we had violent protests in that area. People do not have water. They were supposed to have water by 2013. Still nothing. 1.1 billion rand budgeted in 2008. So you can only imagine how that amount has escalated since then. And yet still the people don't have water. We spoke about water quality. How many of our wastewater treatment plants are in good working order? We got the two questions, answers to that from the department. We don't have staff. We have been begging for those blue and green drops reports. Where are those reports here? We need to know what is going on. Our water quality is declining daily. The cost of our water is going up because of the pollution. Who are we holding accountable for that? The Ubu district, where we have the salt water coming out of the gas. I found a water audit report that was conducted and deposited by the National Department of Water in 2004, that 11 years ago, in the Ubu district, where it was already indicated that the district had a negative balance of water. And at that point, the groundwater levels were deemed to be underutilized resources. We're only using 1% of the very, very good groundwater resources in the Ubu district. 1%. Today they are facing water shortages. How many boreholes have we drilled in that area? Are we capitalizing on the resources that we have? I don't think so. With the new technology we have for water harvesting, what are we doing? Where are reports on that? Desalination plants. There's wonderful, brilliant, more cost-effective new technology out there. What are we doing? Where are these plants? Chair, I'm just not satisfied that we are doing enough. This crisis management style that the department has is totally inefficient. We are letting the people down. This is not a new phenomenon. It's not going away. It's been here for a while. What are we doing going forward from here? What measures are we putting in place going forward? I haven't seen enough evidence of that. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks very much, Chair. Thanks very much, Chair. If you look at slide 16, Chair, of the presentation, it indicates that, of course, we are at the beginning of the drought, but the dam levels are still stable. except in KwaZulu-Natal, where you've got a devastating situation. But again, Chair, the most consumers of our water resources, the farmers and the household, currently as we speak, are mostly affected. You will understand that 60% of our water resources go to farming community and 20% goes to household consumption. And indeed, these are the most affected constituencies, if one has to say. But I want to ask the department, in line with cooperation with your stakeholders, you will understand that you have got different stakeholders in water space. You have got your local government, that is there. Your municipalities that are water service authorities, what is their role in making sure that you mitigate this drought? Because there is money that these municipalities are giving. And I don't think if we are to look at the department alone, we'll know will say. So I want to check as to how far is the cooperation among the stakeholders is in place, and the department as a lead institution in that regard is able to quantify the resources that are there in local government, including the resources that they have, in making sure that they together with this institution, Chair, deal with the situation. The other issue, Chair, relates to the issue of desalination, especially in the coastal areas, because water is there. Has the department costed the infrastructure in relation to water desalination so that we're able to mitigate, but also have infrastructure in the long term so that we're able to address this situation even in 28 years to come? Has the department been able to cope? Because if you need to desalinate, obviously you're going to build new infrastructure. So these are the issues that I want to check, Chair, because we received presentation from the department that desalination is a long-term option in this regard. I just want to get a response in relation to the desalination. Thanks very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Drought has sort of shown itself for quite some years there now. We should by now be able to have in place what the government has in order to fight drought or to confront the effects of drought in our country. Chairperson, from observation, as made mention of rainwater harvesting, I understand that harvested water is going to be consumed by the dwellers in those houses. Then the challenge is, Chairperson, we have houses that are roofed by asbestosis, which has been said to be one of the causes of TB when people are exposed to. Then want to just find out whether out of that harvest will people be safe to consume that water. You go to this detached roofs as well. What I've seen in my own area where people have tanks under those tank houses, when raining, those water washes the dirt from the tanks and flows into the tanks. You open those tanks, you find that the water has the color of the tanks. If tanks are red, water seems to have those red varieties or sort of or some sort of colored red or black. Over and above that, harvested water from the rain or from the roofs of the houses, represent. From a mention of the area I know of, there is a company around the name called Exaro, if not mistaken. It was Isco, it changed to Taiko, changed to Exaro, and now it's KZN Dance. The people that listen to that company, there's smoke that blows off from the company. When they ban it, possibly for me, say, I don't have actual access in that company. What I've seen, at times when they ban, they're supposed to sort of try to manufacture the ions that they produce. The first cloud of dust comes out there, lands on the roof of the houses. People in the area are now complaining that they have difficulty breathing. They have some sort of infections. And some of them are now saying, even the company employees have told them not to drink the other water from the rain. How safe are our communities out there with regards to relying on this harvested water? Most of the areas now are covered by these companies. We have in the area of Mpangeni, firms like, as I've mentioned, KZN Vans, RBM, Mondi, Fosco, those companies are sort of emissions that are badly affecting the communities out there. Lastly, before I come to my last comment, with regards to the sewage pollution, the contribution or the rate of sewage pollution in our rivers and streams, what is the government doing about that? Do you understand? From those streams and rivers that are heavily polluted by sewage, there is a percentage of water that it should be supposed to be used by the communities, but simply because it's now polluted, what is the government doing about it? When are we going to see change towards cleaning or towards seeing to that there are no spillages of sewage from our towns and townships in order to avoid this pollution to our waters? Lastly, the issue of alien plants suppression. Time and again you hear it from Department of Water and Sanitation or from agriculture that the alien plants are somehow a contributor to the water consumption from our streams and rivers. What is the government doing about it? Because it's part of what the government or the department should be sort of focusing in order to assist the community who are relying on river water for their consumption, other than the dams. Because obviously the dams were built some days to assist the people in towns and townships, as well as the farmers. With us who are coming from rural areas, it's very rare to, although there is development, there is water that is being pumped into rural areas for people for clean water for consumption. But there are a large part of our communities where we still don't have water, rely on trucks to deliver water for people's consumption.
Mr.
Fika?
Who is accountable for saying that? Yes. I want to read this. Who is accountable for saying that? Because, and then I want to know, what is a drought? How much water in South Africa is available? I raise this chair present because they mentioned Northwest. Northwest gives Botswana water. And they are talking about drought. I want to know I want to know how far the dam of Botswana is it available or not? Because people are in Moses Badani, people in Northwest are suffering in water. Water goes to Botswana, I think. Too.
This is Willem.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think this this drought is a challenge, which is a challenge to all of us. I don't know whether Mrs. Kikane has seen some of the things that I wanted to talk about. Firstly, I wanted to raise this question to all of us. As what is drought? Is drought a man-made or is natural? If drought is man-made, that's where we need to point fingers to the people concerned. But if it's natural, I think it needs all of us to come together with the knowledge that we are having in order to make sure that the drought is in control, or we are bringing something that will lessen the situation that each one of us here is going to face in future. In the presentation, they indicated that 60% of our water goes to agriculture. Is there a way, as a department, where you try and manage or reduce this percentage that goes to agriculture to be used in the, what do you call it, household or domestics, like you have indicated, to be used in the municipality or the domestics, by the domestics. The issue of water recycling, are we having a plan as the South Africans of water recycling? Maybe the recycling can also even now the challenge that we are having in the country. The issue of water resource management, I think recycling also goes in there. Is there a plan that you are having as a department as to how are we going to implement water resource management and the monitoring part of it? The issue of water, rainwater harvesting. I have seen the presentation, or I heard, talking about the water tankers. But also there are water that are flowing with our rivers after this heavy rainfalls. What's our plan as a country? There are big rivers that really change a lot of water that is being taken to the sea. Are we having plans as a department to build some other reservoir or catchment area in order to store some of the waters that are taken to the sea, and we left as a country not having water? The issue of maintenance, I think we talk about that day in, day out. The issue of our aging infrastructure. Are we having plans, short-term, medium, and long-term plans for infrastructure? Since we know that we can't say we are going to maintain them at a go. It needs time, it needs a lot of money, but are we having plans in place in order to reduce it? Because the leakages also contribute to the loss of water. That ends up contributing into the drought that we are experiencing. Thank you, Chairperson.
Makola.
Ngibonge sihlalo. Nala sikhuluma ngenkinga enkulu.
lendinga esifuna manje ukuhlakani noma esifuna manje ukuthi sibheke emuva ukuthi yini ezosisiza ngale kokulo sibheka lento zo-climate change because for nami ezi umam Gawula nayo ngibuka inomthelela omkhulu lento yethu okuhamba sikobela sithatha izinto ezenziwa kwamanye amazwe sizozenza lalelani-ke la ngifuna ukuchaza la ngowami manje ngoba funa size manje nale nto ebizwa ukuthi i-solution or isixazululo lana kade senza i-oversight qale le kwazulu kojozini sayibona inkinga abantu balithi ababhekene nayo imfuyo yabo bona uqobo bengakwazi ukuthola amanzi asho futhi ukuthi le mfuyo loyo njengoba dlula ngekuphela utude ngempela ngiyibone eseyifile buhlungu kabi ukubona kwesilwane esifile ngoba ayikho into ebaluleke njengokubona imfuyo egcekeni ma uyindoda uyindoda ngemfuyo ninako kwami ngoba lo mnyango wazile ukuthi egcineni uvakashele isilo ubhejane phume eqhiwini mina bengicela because sibasikhona la sibamnyama noma sibamhlophe but uyano ukuthi sisezweni elikhulelwa emasikweni alo ekesibuyeni back kumasiko ethu siyocela isilo sihambe sihlangane namakhosi nezinduna kukhushuke kuye ezintabeni ngoba izintaba lezi ezikhiqiza amanzi zikhona and zisawakhiqiza kulezi zintaba ke kungazi ukuthi intaba nentaba inenkosi yayo njengentaba sewome nje kwamaphumulo emthandeni kunendawo la inkosi yakhona yasemakangeni engikhule ukuthi uma sekunesintu kumo elinje kubizwe amantombazana agqokiswe imisenge akhuphuka aye entabeni kufike kulinywe insimu ebizwa ukuthi kanomkhubulwane bothi bebuyela amakhaya imvula seyikhona and leyo mvula ayibulali muntu iza nanemvundo yila ngithi khona eke sibuyeleni lento yamasiko ngibonge ngokuthi ukhona nenkosi esinayo la before 94 zibe khona lokhona okushilo lathi lezisomiso ekuqinisweni asiqali zeke zaba khona kodwa bebuye kuhanjwe kuya khona ba ziningi izinto eniyibonayo manje akusona isomiso kuphela lesi esikhuluma ngaso even umbane izulu maduma sekubulala abantu ufika umoya yenza kubufa abantu yizakuswayi ngithi mina ngiyacela ekesibiyeleni hlalowo wami emasikweni ubonile uma uya lapha kusilo asimnqabangi instead of that sakumukela bengicela mina nalolo mnyango ukuthi sike kuhambele uyabona nje isekefu ngayibuka lanawo ngayincoma inemibula ngayibala kwezwaphela izandla zami mihle sezikabusho lokho nje lento esho omunye la ngaphambi kwami u-honorable ukuthi yini engenza ukuqoqola amanzi ukuthi kunoma yongena olwandle athabe lawo manzi leya ndawo iyakhombisa ukuthi abantu bakula mhlaba basawagcina amasiko abo ngoba veze isizwe nesizwe sinani sinamasiko aso namasiko futhi anjani abasebenzelayo uyabona emkhanyakude imanje ngikhuluma nawe ezi esho omunye futhi umhlonishwa bayafona bathi abanawo amanzi kunendawo amaphumulo kuphika woza bathi bana-5 months amanzi abanayo into entsha la yoku-la i-South Africa yokushelwa yimfula imifula likhona ngoba khona singama sibabhlema belimi sithi amanzi aphakela belimi obvious phela siyabafuna aye nakubona abalimi because ngoba siyakudinga lokhu akudla kodwa nathi-ke ake sibe ne-input ukuthi yini thina esiyenzayo nabe ngizocela nje ngoba into zo-climate change kuyahanjwa kuhlala ko-IEC laphayana nikubonile kwenzeka leyanto inomthelelo omkhulu imvula ayikho ikhona imvula nalizakwethu iza lemvula uyibona ukuthi nani yazifike ime yingakho ke manje asibuyele back emasikweni ethu sihambe ke siyoguqa isizwe nesizwe sinawo amasiko aso la masiko futhi asisebenzelayo okunye ke la bengiyocela unomusa Dube Ncube ekasichazele why sikhuluma ngemali ukuthi ayikho ngala mapayipi alele naso nesithombe sawo la inqwaba lele laphaya nalaba abasebenzi babafana bokwenza le project kodwa la project yamanzi yagcina iyenzekanga bayodlala ngabantu basemakhaya bafakela amapayipi amapayipi ngikhuluma nani nje lawa mapayipi awekho ngiyocela ukuthi lo mnyango akasitshele ukuthi inhloso yakhe iyini ikusiza abantu base-South Africa noma ufuna yena ukubacindezela mo ngigcina enye into ebengithi ngifuna kuxoxa njengayo la isicelo lesi ngisishoyo kwetakwethu yile ndaba yamanzi acocekile abanye amanzi banikhuluma amanzi acocekile ngicabanga ukukhuluma amanzi ahlanzekile as umamkhawula sengikhulumela kumuntu umlomo ngithi kunabantu abaphuza amanzi anendle engadi 1 kashepula ngaphezulu inkomponi ifake indle yabo yayo uphezulu ochelelile obuya khona la udeputy mayor yasesitenga eyashaya phansi ngonyawo ukuthi ngempela ngempela ngisuke South Africa ubani ofuna baphile impilo engcono ubani ofanele baphile impilo e-right ngakhala ngey'kole lezi y'kole ngithi mina sisekamaqokomela iy'ngane zakhona angithatha mangikuhamba uyobona i-toilet abatwana abasebenza kulona abayikhulula kulona lesizulu ubona ngenyawo kusho ukuthi nomunye anyathela ayikhulule kanjalo kathi kuphepha lama-chips ashidabe ngalo uyibona umthande sengakhathala bengizocela nokuthi njengoba kuhlala kulo mnyango bafethu asihlale nangoba sifuna ukuthanda and kunegama elibi ezobeyasangathi thina sifuna ukubuka kumathiwi thina sisiki nama-TV sihlala la ngenhloso yabantu abahluphekayo ayikho into ebuhlungu mina ngebhadi ithakithi kamasha but ngizalelwe kwamaphumulo ngizalelwe endawo yasemakhaya bayahlupheka abantu and so mina sibuhlungu ngendlela ongayazi yabona uma ngabe nibuka indaba ngoba ngiyazi uma i-politician noma i-member i-parliament ifanele ubuke indaba alukho usizo bengilubuka njengaloluyana abantu bephethe ngabhakede nkosi yami beyofuna amanzi ngathi nina ngathi siku-oversight abantu base-what 19 abanzawekho ngathola iciko ngifuna nizwe nina bomnyango wamazwe ngathola iciko elimbulali ngamina ngathi umbulali lo wasimisa ekugqumeni phezulu wathi yabona nansi itruck ihamba laphaya iphuma kusho itruck yayizihambela yentiyo ezintombini zabo still bacabangisa i-christ bebengikhala ngayo isekhona awekho amazwi o-what 19 zonke lezi ndaba engikhala ngazo azikho and sizokhathala ilaba bantu abafika bezohola imali yama-taxpayer abantu ukuziprotekta bona nokungcono genani agula ngezi uma kuthiwa khona ngoba i-oversight wesimali ey'ningi zabo silale emahotela sidla kodwa ekugcineni uthole ukuthi zihambela abantu abangenandaba nabantu ngiyabonga hlala
will you do the honors of transition?
Sorry, sir. There's a funny thing. I'm lying down. We have a little over here. We have ngempela ngempela kwenzeka ukuthi laba bantu bayavingeka. Akufuneki ngempela kuze kufike la ezizo zisidinwe khona. Azange kulungiswe lalo ngoba yabani la nje ngila ngimela abantu mina bala eSouth Africa. Ngiyabonga.
The chief will lead the delegation.
Uyangiphazamisa uma uzokhuluma ngokuthi akumele abantu akumele sidineke. Asisebenzise your language like parliament. La sinamalunga parliament sonke la, all of us here who are representing people, all of us. No one is representing people more than any other one here. We all have our own constituencies, and we need to be passionate about how we represent our passion, our constituencies. But that's the language we must always avoid, because we all want to respect each other. We have one common cause here, all of us, to see the lives of our people being improved for the better. All of us. Now that's why we are here. That's a quick translation and also a summary. What Mama Kaula is writing in the main is that we need to go back to our cultures. We need to go back. Specifically, she's mentioning the fact that we need to go back to Isilo, Samazulu, together with the chiefs. Go back to the mountains and make all the calls. We don't have to export to other countries' experiences. That's what Mama Kaula is saying. When we did oversight, we saw livestock being devastated. She makes examples about Mpanyakute and also an area called Woza, where people there have gone without water for 5 months. She is making a call for our committee to call on the MEC Dube Ngcube on the pipes that have been there lying, which she, as Mama Kaula says, has a responsibility on. Last point that Mama Kaula is raising talks to the quality of water in Ward 1 in Gembula and Stenga, and also Ward 19 at Ilembe. As she was talking, I was tempted, Bab Makonjo, to really get our committee to invite the Queen of Rain, Queen Mujashi. And I'm told you are quite close to, and you know the systems as to how we can.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm covered by Honorable Blangul. I was going to ask the question that is that a man-made due to the questions that I've had here. Chair, this is our challenge, not a political party or whose party challenge. It's our, all of us is our challenge. The issue of the absence of the minister, I think it must not be an issue because she was here last week with us, explaining to us the challenge of baguette eradication. She was with us. And then it was also mentioned yesterday that she's not here in the country, she's in Russia. So I don't think it's a crisis if she's not here today. And the other issue is that the minister is not part of a member of the committee. She comes by invitation. So maybe it will be proper when we have presentation and then inform us that
you invited the minister or not, so that all members must understand, because we, this thing was raised even last year and we tried to address it. And I thought my minister coming to the meeting when she's having time, it was addressed. But it's still a complaint, even she was here last week. On the issue of, I wanted to ask the department, because this, we have a problem and we are talking about addressing the issue of drought. But if we are not having rain now, we are having plans of making sure that if the rain comes, we'll catch up all the waters. Because giving an example, in our areas in Moriti, when we have a heavy rain, the Vaal River will be opened and the water will be flooding to Soshanguve. Soshanguve will be open to Magaunya, and it's where the water will end up there. Houses will be full of water and everything. But at the end, you don't know where that water goes. Are we having plans of making catchment to grab that water so that in the future we have saved those waters and make it for when you have such time? On the issue of when we grow up, we have that thing, we were taken to school, especially the grade one students, we were taken for go and pray for the rain and we'll come up with that rain. But I don't think today we'll have it. The way Boshi Bambu are behaving, the culture is gone. We will not have that thing again. We are all rotten, and we are teaching even the young kids not to respect. So the rain needs people who are having respect with that culture. So the culture is gone. We must start there, Mamukawula, to tell Fred that you must respect elderly, so that the other children will respect, and then the respect will be great.
Sorry, Chef. Mutala Khotlo is the location.
Yeah, Khotlo, Mamukawula. That is true. We were not suffering, because we grow up drinking, we have our own chef where I come from, which will have somebody who will stay there. If you are not part of this clan, you won't drink. Every clan was having their own terms that were said and do. But today we don't have those cultures, because we went back to the tap. We are now drinking from the tap. So that is the only issue we are having. What we need to do, chair and committee, I don't think we must play a blaming game issue. We must come with solutions. We're having a challenge. What is that we want the department to do as a committee that we see it will help us? Because if we come to a meeting and complain and leave the issues as it is, we are not assisting. I think those who have experiences, they must tell us, if we can do this, we'll go out of the challenges. Thank you, Chair.
You want the second time, Mama?
Yeah,
let's avoid and then we'll come back on second round. We shall come back in the second round. Thank you. A few issues have been raised, members. I think the main point that is spoken about here is that this matter that we are about needs us, all of us, to work together with solutions. Any disaster requires emergency attention. Whether we are able to demonstrate that, and it has to be demonstrated in action, not by word of mouth. We want to see dust out there. We want to see action. To an extent, you want to collaborate with your Alcatraz Research Councils of this world. You want to collaborate with your Environment Affairs Department of this world in finding the solution. So that we really are able to in action collaborate
not by word of mouth. We have such a challenge that we really need to confront. To an extent, we might even have to come back and be able to say in action, these are the plans that we have in place. The problem statement has been put. What then gets to be a solution to the imminent problem that we are confronted with? Whether we are going to be playing with words, whether it is 43% national average, you know, water loss, or 37%, those could be the details. We went to Guyana the other day, again, part of the action you might be thinking about with Ms. Mate. Government departments spend millions of rands in treating wastewater until a certain point. And we are able to see that water relatively clean. The next step, it goes straight into the river stream. Now the MEC is there, the district mayor is there. You have water in Limpopo that is 82% used by farming communities. Whether you do not need that partnership with that farming community at that point where that water is expected to go to the river stream. For the farmers to invest for themselves in really getting to redirect that water for their own irrigation. It's happening. It's happening elsewhere. It's happening even in our own country. On a smaller scale. Probably I went to see in Brest in one farming school there. Farm school, where water comes into a septic tank, into a treatment plant, into a 5,000 liter jute tank, straight into a food gardening for a school. It happens, it works. I'm just trying to imagine to why can't we use it on a bigger scale? Engaging all the farmers as partners. You have a number of engineers out there. Some of the municipalities do not have engineers or technical directors who are qualified engineers. There are a number of engineers in a number of the towns. I met with one of them the other day were in the same flight in Colesberg area. He is there are a number of them, he's a farmer. They want to assist. Why can't we have the municipalities literally calling on all of these engineers? Come and assist if you can. And they are keen to come and assist at no cost to government. And what stops us from engaging out there with them? Engaging with the municipalities to tell those other engineers out there, come and assist, and they are there to assist at no cost. The matter related to alienology vegetation is quite a serious matter. We have been asking about it at some point. The government department is dealing with that issue. It is in its domain. But what we all know for a fact is that that alien vegetation consumes so much of water. And what plans are there? Again, it goes back to the planning. So that we are able to work together, collaborating with the Environment Department. I must say also, in line with what other members have said, that the program has been there, I mean, just to give a quick one. The program has been there so that we really avoid as much as we can to play politics. Whether this matter is now coming in now, it has been there for quite some time for members to know it is part of any plan. Maybe the last point I want to raise relates to the irrigation boards. We all know that the irrigation boards are part of the old apartheid system, remaining untransformed as they are. And we've been talking about, what do we call it, Water Users Association.
We've been talking about that for years and forever. So I'm informed. Now, in our country, the reality that we have members is that the infrastructure that we have was designed to cater for 30,000 people. Illustrate, to make an example. Suddenly there is democracy. Suddenly the numbers of people who are supposed to be served by that infrastructure has grown 10 times fold. The municipality cannot afford to expand that infrastructure. What happens next? You are bound to have a problem. Others are still not going to be able to get any service out of that infrastructure. So that we also don't play politics. We're trying to really want to move forward. I'm talking about Nelson because I was personally involved in that project. At one point I was working for one investment bank. We were bidding. We never won. Bywater won that project, is an English company. Now, there you are dealing with a practical example out of my own experience. 1996-97, thereabout. Now, we have such a situation in our country where the infrastructure, either it is old, or it has been designed to cater for a few. Now the people are now grown 10 times more. That same infrastructure must still be able to service. It is always going to have its own challenges. That's the first point. The last point I want to raise. At times in this country of ours, as they call, or rather say, you know, you have two economies in this country. Equally insofar as our world is concerned, it talks about the same issue. It is drought for others. It is not drought for us. We still have a number of water right holders. Our own government buys from an individual water. And this is happening in Jozini area, out of the Jozini Dam. Now that's what you are experiencing in our country. Your golf course in this country, they are forever green, paying a pittance 10 rand per annum. Rose University had 3 meters, seriously underbuilt. And they could afford to say to a municipality there in Makana, here is the 10 million rand and 8 million rand, see what can do with it. As if they are doing a municipality a favor. And they know it very well that they have been seriously underbuilt for quite some time. Could be a similar case with your mines in this country, which do not use water with licenses. I think at some point we had about 104 of them. I don't know how far it is on, did that one go. So clearly here we have a challenge that we really need all of us to work together in resolving the problems that are there that relate to drought. Because all of these questions at some point, they also must answer a question that says, indeed, who owns water in our country? When we talk about the 37% loss, you might wish to dissect that 37%. Well, there is no theft in that. We all know that we still have people who still steal water in our country. And they go away without being recognized or get away with murder. Thanks, we'll come back. Mrs. Mwala.
Thank you so much, Chair. Let me just speak to the issues of housing. As we said when we started, housing is not experiencing any drought conditions. The problem in housing is the heat wave and obviously the demand of water in housing as we speak. The reservoirs run dry quickly and also because of evaporation. There isn't drought in housing. They get their water from the Rand River system and the Kofodang West River. And as of last week, the dam levels were sitting at 84% in Gauteng. KZN, as we said earlier, it was one of the first provinces declared as a disaster. And they got disaster relief funds from the national government. And Department of Water and Sanitation augmented that the drought relief and gave them about 352 million that committed to assist the drought conditions in the KZN area. As you know, Hazel Nadem is at its lowest in 10 years, as they say. I think as last week they were sitting at about 87% the dam level. I will allow Trevor to respond to some of the issues and my two colleagues, the doctor and Trevor. Trevor?
Thanks, Jim. Chair, I'm going to address the issue which was raised by Honourable Besson, in particular around Madi Beng. But just in terms of prefacing my response, I must, Chair, just indicate that the matter Honourable Besson raises was covered quite extensively in a National Assembly question response by Minister, and that's National Assembly question number 2937. But just to add a bit on the questions raised, Madi Beng is a municipality placed under administration in terms of section 139(1)(b) of the Constitution. And placing the municipality under administration doesn't necessarily mean that there's new money going into a municipality. What the administration is intended to do is to assist that municipality to reorganize itself, to get itself up and running to be able to render those services. That particular municipality is under administration only for water and sanitation. So the department minister appointed Mahali's Water as the implementing agent, and in terms of that appointment as implementing agent for the intervention, the water board were instructed to prepare a five-year business plan so that we could identify all of the needs, short-term needs, medium-term needs, and the long-term needs. And on the basis of the budget that was available at the time that that intervention started, which was on the 28th of March this year, there was a knowledge that that business plan was not fully funded. So the short-term interventions, which we are implementing at the moment, are being funded out of budgeted amounts, either appropriated through Parliament here in terms of allocation to grant funds through MIC, MWIC, ORBIC, ACIP, as well as utilizing municipal own generated funds. We also have consolidated on getting some funding from the province in terms of the provincial infrastructure grant. There's also an expectation that in terms of getting an intervention like that up and running, is that the municipality will allocate between 7% to 8% of their budget, current budget, to O&M activities to implement programs to enhance water management. So just here in having indicated those few facts, I must just also indicate that while we're working to fix that broken municipality, there are some successes we've achieved, and they're very significant successes in my opinion. There's the intervention in Majakaneng, which started in February this year, a community that didn't have water for some 8 years, which through our interventions, that community to a large extent is enjoying water on a 24-hour basis, with the exception of a part of the community called Sandorf, where we still have to do some augmentation work. Secondly, there's good progress being made on the upgrade of the Brits plant, and we expect that the extra 20 megalitres will come stream in June 2016, and we're still on track to do that. We've also been working at the optimization of the Brits water treatment works. The plant wasn't operating optimally, and we weren't getting enough water through.
We've optimized that plant, and currently with the work which has been completed with some tie-ins this week, we've got the plant running now consistently at 52 megalitres a day, which is something which the municipality weren't doing prior to our intervention. So we are managing, Chair, to maintain and improve our current supply, even though we have an exceptionally hot spell, which we are currently experiencing. We're also improving our response time to breakdowns, and we also are engaging with the mines to also contribute towards the improvement of water supplies to the selected areas. In that regard, a number of mines are making some of their SLP funds available to deal with those areas in the vicinity of Kaneng and Wonderkop, which many of you will associate with Marikana. We also have commenced, Honourable Chair, with the work at Jericho to bring that community back up on stream with their water supply, as with the communities at Mabaloka and Letlabile. So, Chair, just in brief, there's quite a bit that is being done there. Not enough. I'm sure no one will ever be happy with the amount that we do, but there is a significant progress being made there. Thank you, Chair. Chair, I've also just been asked to address the issue of how we prepare ourselves in terms of drought. In the presentation that Memo Chukli made, there's a slide 16 which indicates our national storage of dams as we were at the end of September. Now, the reason that we give the end of September figure is that our hydrological year runs from the 1st of October through to the end of September each year. And what we do in May of each year in the summer rainfall areas is that we run through all the dams in the country, and we have a look at the outlook in terms of long-range weather forecasts, which are given to us by the South African Weather Services. We also take into account the precipitation indexes, which are provided to us by the Agricultural Research Council. We have a look at the history of storage of those dams over a number of years, and that record on page 16 goes back to 1980. It's a 35-year record. And on the basis, we do projections as to what type of restrictions might be required at any particular time. On Vaal River system, for argument's sake, we would look at an extreme event and make sure that we're able to cover that extreme event over an 8 to 10 year period. In the Western Cape, which is a winter rainfall area, the exercise of doing the assessments of the dams is done from the 1st of November, being a winter rainfall area. And typically when we look at the extreme events, for the Western Cape, we're looking at a period of 2 to 3 years. The reason for that is that the Western Cape, unlike the inland areas, recovers much quicker. In that the rainfall is quite a bit higher, it's concentrated, and those dams respond in a much shorter period. Chair, when we're doing those assessments, we look at the corresponding indicator thresholds over, and we categorize it to categories of D0, which is dry, through to a category which we refer to as D4, which is an exceptional drought. Now, the first category, D0, would be when our dams are at a level of 80 to 100%, and the CPC, or the soil moisture content, is between 21 and 30%. On the extreme end, we would be looking at the dam levels at 20%, and you're looking at very exceptional drought conditions there. And those are the assessments we do, and on that basis, we then determine how restrictions should be applied. And Namatakala, in her introduction, and also is covered on by Namachotri, indicated that in the Vaal River system, for argument's sake, there's the outlook at the moment is that there wouldn't be a need for any consideration of water restrictions before 2019. And the reason for restrictions in City of Joburg, Ekurhuleni, and City of Tshwane at the moment is because of the very dry conditions, lack of rain, there's very high demand from all of the consumers. And that's why Joburg City in this past week have implemented stage 2 water restrictions. City of Tshwane had implemented restrictions some 2 weeks ago. So Chair, that's just in summary. Currently, when one looks by province, and you look at it from both a meteorological and a hydrological perspective, the Eastern Cape there's no drought. Most of our dams there are full, and we've enjoyed rainfall over the last 2 weeks as well. So from a hydrological point of view, it's a moderate area. Free States meteorologically is dry, hydrologically moderate, and we have severe drought conditions in Tabamafutsu and Nyane. In Gauteng, I've already covered the issue there. KwaZulu-Natal, that's extreme, both from a meteorological and a hydrological point of view, with the most critical areas being in those supply areas from the Bazelmere Dam, which at the moment, as Mamatra Kaya indicated, is sitting at 25%, and there in the northern areas of the Tekweni municipal area, which rely on the Hazelmere Dam, we're at 30% restrictions currently. With the current level of the dam, in all probability, we're going to have to move to 50% restrictions. The balance of Durban, of Itekweni, sorry, which is fed from the Mbeni system, there are no restrictions applied there at the moment, but that system is all at a reasonable level. The other areas are the Khudatau Dam in the Mtuzi area, the Tipfontein Dam in the Waitumfulozi, and the Shushuri Dam, which are very low, and we are having to restrict flows. If one looks at the situation across the provinces, it is really those provinces which have been declared, and one of the earlier speakers, I think it was the Honourable Member who is here from the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture, made reference to the declarations. We have four provinces that have declared at the moment and gazetted, that KZN, Free States, Northwest and Limpopo, and we're expecting Mpumalanga to gazette as well, a declare and gazette. KZN will have to re-gazette because their initial gazette was for a specific period of time, and also agriculture were not involved in that process. So the next gazetting will also take into account the agricultural requirements there as well. From a national level, Chair, we are National Disaster Management Center has been activated. A NATJOC has been established. It was established and activated after the President established the IMC Interministerial Committee on a drought last week. And the NAT Joint had their first meeting last Friday. And currently they are assessing all of the plans from the provinces to see how they meet with the norms and standards in terms of the declaration of a disaster, because it's only through that process which we'll be able to access additional funding from the Department of National Treasury. Chair, in terms of the assessments that the department has done, we've assessed needs in the order across the provinces, all of the provinces, not only those that are drought-prone. We indicate that there could be a need in the order of 900 million. But what one has to strip out of that need, as we've got it from the provinces, is take out what would be dealing with backlogs and deal with the needs in terms of operational responsibilities. But the MDMC is currently doing assessing all of those plans that have been put together, and by the end of the week, the national plan in terms of the disaster management center will be announced, no doubt, by the minister responsible for the NDMC, which is Minister of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. Chair, you also raised the issue of AMD. I don't want to preempt any announcements that might be made by a minister, but certainly at at a press conference on the 1st of November, Minister indicated that very shortly she would be indicating how we will move forward with the long-term solution for the AMD, particularly in the Witwatersrand area, being the western, central and eastern basins. Chair, I think I've covered.
Peter?
Thank you, Chair. On the issue of drought, what drought is, whether it is man-made or what, I think Mr. Barber touched on it, but I would ask Dr. Mseki to also elaborate on it during his presentation on climate change. So I'll just respond to other issues. There's a question on RSA giving water to Botswana. I would like to say that we are functioning, we are guided, and functioning within the confines of the SADC protocol on shared water courses, and that it is imperative for us to honor those agreements. But also to mention that when there are restrictions, or when we are facing a situation like this, they get to be involved in decisions on how far to restrict or how much to restrict and whatever, and that coordination and cooperation with them. The issue on water pollution, as to what department is doing, there are a number of programs under that. For example, we have river health program. We are also in regulation, as we are regulators. We do regulation, then we do monitoring and enforcement. Where when there is somebody that's non-compliant with the license conditions, or non-compliant with the National Water Act, the department can take action against such. But also to mention that the part of the pollution that we are experiencing in the country is that is the wastewater treatment works that are under certain municipalities. You will know that there has been growth in migration to urban areas, and that has put a strain on wastewater treatment plants as well. I think the chairperson also alluded to some of the previous, the legacies of the previous regime. It adds to that as well. So we are doing that, but I also need to maybe can give hope that we are and will be doing that, because under the Sustainable Development Goals, you know that goal number 6 there is precisely or specifically on water, and one of the sub-goals there is on pollution management. In other words, it's about water quality. So we will be bound to do that as we will be binding ourselves as a country to the national or global issues like the Sustainable Development Goals. On the issue of rain harvesting, yes, there's a plan that the department is working towards. For example, I have it here, we can send it to the chair if you so desire. In Gauteng, there are 21 plants and in Eastern Cape 300 plants for sustainability, and there is progress on the plant. There's a good breakdown of the plant and what it is that has achieved thus far as far as rainwater harvesting is concerned. The issue on water running to river and what? Yes, our plans, as we know that we do plan for quite a number of years, it does take into account where water would be available for us to be able to trap the water or catch the water into the dams. So there are such plans. You can say also some of that is in the National Water Resource Strategy number 2, where you see where there are feasibility studies towards the building of that infrastructure. The working for water, which is a program on removal of invasive species. Remember that program was in the department before, but move to the Department of Environment, but it doesn't mean that we're not working with them. We are working with them, and during the planning of infrastructure, we do take into account the work that has been done there, or the plan towards removal of the invasive species, and as such, how much water will be released from the removal, or as a result of the removal of the invasive species. On the collaboration in dealing with drought, yes, we are collaborating. We are part of the National Disaster Management Committee. We met last Friday, as Mr. Varza has indicated, and in the various departments were made presentations, the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Health, the Department of Traditional Affairs also presented and indicated some of the things that Mama Kola mentioned today, some of the traditional things. Yes, we are part of it, we are participating, and we also made a presentation there on what we are doing. Coming to what we are doing, there is a plan in place which we are refining and updating as we go along. I can give an example of that plan. I have it here. In Ulu, the Frihate and Zululand area, this plan here indicates that drilling, the action that we required to do was drilling and equipping of 27 boreholes. And of the 77, 40 is already drilled.
Sorry, Chair, is it possible for us to get a written copy of this report, please? I think it's really important. We need that's exactly what we wanted from Eva's meeting today.
Yes, the reason I read it out is so that you see that really we're working towards something. There are.
And we have one meeting. Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay. That also indicates number of households that will be served. Whatever intervention that we take, it indicates the number of households that will be served, because in the plan you also indicate number of households that are affected. And so it's a plan that we're implementing and that we are also monitoring. Water losses. It is not that we are doing nothing about water losses. As a department, as you know, there was a study that was undertaken. But anyway, there's action that is put in place, that we are putting in place, or actions that we are putting in place. I've mentioned during the presentation that the Ribbon Strategy would indicate that water conservation, water management is the first step that we take, and it is the most cost-effective one to start with. Now, over and above that, you will remember that the President has launched a program called War on Leaks. The program aims at training 15,000 youth. That the impact of the program, number one, would be on enhancing or impacting on or contributing towards the skills pool of the country, because it is a training that leads to skills. And what it also adds is that once they are qualified, they will be able to help municipalities and replace municipalities to fix things. Part of that program has water agents. As we have a number of candidates that will train as water agents, and that will be to constantly remind South Africans that we are a water country, and that, as Chairperson has emphasized as well, that all of us have a responsibility and a role to play in ensuring that every drop counts. Our slogan at the moment is, what if there was the last drop? I think let me stop here with the water conservation, water management. I've sufficiently addressed that one. I hope I have dealt with basically the three categories of questions that were raised. One being collaboration with our department. Number two is what we're doing with water pollution. Three, what it is that we're doing with water efficiency. We are allowing the leaks to continue unabated, and that there's a plan in place. That we are fine-tuning and refining as we go along on how we are mitigating for the current situation that we are faced with.
I'm tempted to allow him to have one session once. And I'm also tempted that
if you like, we have an overlapping session where in climate change is going to come, we accordingly take number two and number three rounds of our questions alongside that climate change, so as to save time for us to have more time than the department. There is a temptation. If I were to be practical about it, the department took almost an hour and a half in responses, or rather in responding to the questions. That's my proposal I'm putting across. I can see the hands are really getting there, insisting and so on. I'm actually trying to appeal that I'm aware that there are a lot of questions. And I also have my own, I've been taking some notes. Can't we allow them just to round up their presentations on climate change? Then we are free with all the questions. Mrs. Stein, you are interesting?
Yes, Jenny. I'm aware that all other portfolios are busy shutting down because of the staff strike. They are on the way. I'm following. So we might not come to the next round of questions. And I think it's very important, Chair, that we do get the opportunity to ask follow-up questions now. This is really a massive problem. And I'm not happy with the answers. Most of my questions have not been answered. On the irrigation schemes, on the water usage of the up-to-dateness of that. And I think, Chairperson, it's really very important that we do get the answers here today. We might not come to the point where we can get the last point of and it's not our fault that we're not going to get in today, but I think it's very important, Chair.
Can we suspend the session? It's Abama. Okay.
Jefferson, if you allow, can we go ahead while they sing outside or they stop us?
Inside. Okay, go ahead.
Chairperson, yes. I would like, I've got the explanation on Maribel. I don't want to dwell with it because that's an isolated incident. I want to take us back to Gauteng where we've got a crisis now. We've got rand water that supplies 12.5 million people of water. Last year in September, we had a presentation by Rand Water concerning the problems and how they're going to rectify the problems and how they're going to assist Johannesburg and Ekurhuleni. We just, more than a year later now, we're in the same situation where we were. My question is, in that presentation it was indicated that the telemetry system will be in... A telemetry system will be... put in place.
Yeah.